lytter til Radio Jazz, Danmarks eneste jazzradio.
This is Lee Konitz speaking for Tia and Niels about some of the things that have happened in our jazz lifetimes. This is Radio Jazz.
There aren't a lot of jazz musicians who manage to retain an unpredictable, uncategorizable, lively and bubbly style throughout a six-decade career, but Lee Konitz is certainly an exception. The now 90-year-old alto saxophonist from Chicago is an astoundingly cool jazz player. And not just because he performed and recorded with, to name a few, Lenny Tristano and Miles Davis on his infamous Birth of the Cool. So, your trusty Radio Jazz hosts, Niels Wamber and I, Tia Hoka, sat down with Mr. Konitz just hours before his show at Montmartre Jazz House here in Copenhagen.
Radio Jazz studieværter Tia Hoka og jeg, Niels Wamber, mødte den amerikanske alt-saxofonist Lee Konitz på hans hotel i juni måned, nogle timer før han skulle optræde og give koncert i et jazzhus Montmartre her i København.
As always, and especially for the sake of first-time investigators of this unique artist, we wanted to get a little further back in his career, to get back right to the beginnings, the start of it all.
Vi indledte udsendelsen med Benny Goodmans Don't Be That Way. Og det er der en særlig grund til, og nu skal du bare høre hvorfor.
Could we take you a little back to the beginnings? I have read somewhere that you got a Christmas gift or a gift, a clarinet, and that's where music started for you. Is that true?
That's very true, yes.
And how did it all go down? Why the clarinet?
Well, I was a fan of Benny Goodman's at the time, and I thought that that would be a good way to make that apparent.
Was your family musical? Were you was music all around, or was there one?
No, my family were in the laundry business, and they just figured that this was a good move for me, and I appreciated it very much. The next year, I wanted a tenor sax to fill out the program, and they did that for me.
Yeah.
Lee Kunitz havde, mens han spillede klarinet, flere store forbilleder. De spillede dog alle på saxofon. En klarinet er blot et supplement, medmindre man kan spille ligesom Benny Goodman. Han nævner Coleman Hawkins, Lester Young og Johnny Hodges. Året efter han havde fået en klarinet af sine forældre, fik han en tenorsaxofon. Her kommer Johnny Hodges dog på altsax og spiller Seymour Simons All of Me.
Music better.
Mm. And then you continued. Was music always occupying a very important role, or was the family nudging you in a different direction?
No, they really let me do this thing as I chose. I appreciated that very much.
Året efter skiftede Lee Konitz sin tenorsax ud med en altsax. Der var han 22 år, og det var i 1949. Han kom til at spille sammen med pianisten Lenny Tristano. Og vi får her et eksempel. Udover de to er det Billy Bauer, der spiller guitar, Arnold Fishkin på bas og Shirley Mann på trommer. Subconsciously.
To grammar school and high school, a part of high school. Then I joined a band to do something, I think it was in Texas, and that turned into my basic activity.
Part of his charm, he says, is that he played sharp and frequently, which made a whole different musical relationship between the rest of the instruments. But that sound that he was able to produce on the instrument was what got him the job with Miles Davis's Birth of the Cool.
Som 24-årig begyndte Lee Konitz at spille sammen med trompetisten Miles Davis. Og dem skal vi høre i John Kearns Yesterdays.
Thank you. How did you learn to play the clarinet and later on the saxophone?
By just getting them out of the case each day and playing some notes of some kind. I didn't have a foolproof scheme of doing this. It's just something I enjoyed trying to figure out. And I figured it out to some extent.
In the early 1950s, Konitz recorded and toured with Stan Kenton's orchestra, but he continued to record under his own name.
Yeah, få år efter kom Lee Konitz til at spille i Stan Kentons store orkester. Og her kommer de og spiller
Of All Things.
In 1961, Lee Konitz recorded Motion with Elvin Jones on drums and Sonny Dallas on bass. This was a somewhat spontaneous session and is today widely regarded as a classic, consisting entirely of standards. Furthermore, Lee Konitz had a special relationship and influence in jazz pianist and arranger Lenny Tristano.
Tenorsaxofonisten Warren Marsh var sammen med Lee Konitz eksponent for Cool Jazz Skolen og var oplært af pianisten Lenny Tristano og dennes teorier. Og de kommer her og spiller Harry Warren's There Will Never Be Another You. Thank you.
You let us in like a funny story or something really interesting or bizarre or outrageous that happened in the band's life or while you were recording, or you know,
there were a number of things like that that are not available to me 70 years later, so I can be forgiven for that, I think.
Absolutely.
But Miles was a character and a very kind man that I appreciated as a young student, you know. And the fact that he recommended me to this band that Gil Evans was responsible for, and he was criticized by many of the Sonny Stitts and accomplished alto players, and he said, just mind your own business, this is the way it's going, and I really appreciated that, of course.
Miles Davis anbefalede pianisten Gil Evans, at han skulle optage Lee Konitz i sit orkester, og det skete. Og de spiller her Remember.
Thank you.
When it comes to describing what he feels, Mr. Conant says it's different for every chord. He stopped trying to analyze what it is, and he's just reacting to the sound of the chord.
Og så kom turen til at spille med en hollandsk trio under ledelse af Oliver Nelson. Det er pianisten Rim Jacobs trio, og solisterne er trompetisten Art Farmer, den svenske trombonist Åke Persson, Stu Martin er på trommer, og så Lee Konitz. De spiller deres udgave af John Klenners Just Friends.
Thank you.
Some musician told us that it's a tough life to be a jazz musician.
Well, it's tough like any kind of life, having to travel, first of all, like we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. It's the same kind of thing that I was doing 70 years ago or more. Just getting on a train or whatever and going someplace I didn't know about. But there's something that's fascinating about that way of life to me. And I always appreciated, I'm going to go out and play music for some people and get paid whatever I get paid for it. So I felt very fortunate that way.
Yeah, when I said tough, I meant, well, with alcohol and drugs and all this stuff.
I was doing all of that, and I enjoyed smoking my marijuana occasionally and having a drink occasionally, but I soon kind of gave up on that life. I'm kind of glad that I made that decision, and I haven't really touched it since. And now that it's so available, I'm thinking, gee, now I could really have a bag full to carry around, but I haven't done that.
No.
Lee Konitz nævnte i begyndelsen af interviewet, at han havde forskellige forbilleder. Udover de nævnte, var det også alt-saxofonisten Charlie Parker. Han er komponisten på det næste nummer, der bliver spillet sammen med Konitz' partner i cool jazz, Lenny Tristano. Donna Lee.
for serious friends and teachers, and regretted when I finally learned that he had left us, with understanding that he was able to encourage me without pushing or embarrassing and things like that. I was always grateful for that.
What would you say was the most important thing that he taught you? Like how to, technical things, or more of how to be a musician?
More of how to be, how to appreciate the responsibility and not rub it in any way, but just to try to make that a prominent part of my life.
I also wanted to ask you about another musician that I'm interested in, because I'm Hungarian, like he was, Attila, Zoller Attila, if you remember him.
Oh, yes, I did. He was another dear friend. I regretted when I read that he had left us, as I do now, reading about so many people that come in and go out, you know, every day, it seems, there's someone leaving town for good, not just friends that are not available, they're just never available anymore, and that's always a very great loss for me. I have, in the last few years, gotten a feeling to be able to experience the music vocally by not singing a lyrical song, but improvising the singing. So this has been a very great part of my rounding out my interest in approaching the music in a few different ways.
Yeah. What kind of vocalizing? Do you sing yourself, or?
I sing do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, like that. So it's different each time.
Yeah.
And keeping in this improvising spirit that I like so much.
Yeah.
I'm thanking this gentleman sitting over here.
We have George Schuller over here in the corner.
George Schuller is his name.
Yeah.
I knew what his name was, but it slipped my mind for a minute.
Singing it for the listeners here.
And I hope I can hear some reproduction of that before I go to heaven.
We will send it to you.
I don't think they're going to have any in heaven. Thank you.
You've been fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Der er måske ikke så meget fut over Lee Konitz' spil som før i tiden. Men tonen er fin, og det skal vores lytter høre her. Trommeslæren er i øvrigt George Schuller, som Konitz lige omtalte, og som sad i et hjørne og overhørte vores interview.
Lee Konitz's sound was basically etched in the 1950s school, and his sax became the tunnel through which streams of fresh melody on any theme or harmony are still pouring. Your radio jazz hosts, Niels Schwamberg and I, cannot be more grateful and humbled to have had the chance to sit down and talk to this unique jazz musician. We hope you've enjoyed the ride, and we hope that you'll continue on being drawn into Lee Konitz's musical vortex. We sure will.
Og med Johnny Green's Body and Soul siger dine studieværter Tia Hugga og jeg, Niels Wamberg, mange tak, fordi du, kære lytter, lyttede med.
Thank you.